how he was just so discouraged, and God had to remind him, says, look, the saints that come to church, they are a resource. Those that pay tithes offer their resources, but I'm your source. And whether it's a evangelist or whatever, you know, oftentimes they get discouraged. I've talked to many that said ready to go back to work full time, you know. But you have to just know that God's the source. God's going to supply the need. Even Brother Branham himself, you know, one time he was out in the field and he says, if God don't meet the need, I'm going back to work. I'm coming off the field. I'm going back to work. And his wife had to tell him, say, now, I know that's what you said, but is that what God said? Right? Is that what God said for you to leave the field and go back to work? And he's like, yeah, you're right. That's not what God said. That's something that I'm doing. So it can't be about the money. It can't be anything about that. It's got to be, you know, just allow God to provide as he provides, and just keep your eyes, you know, on him. Scripture tells us, and I stand on this as I went full-time in ministry. It's a scripture that I remember out of Corinthians. The Lord hath ordained that they which preach the gospel will live of the gospel. God hath ordained. And when I read that, I knew that that was a direct commandment from God. If he ordained it, it's a commandment from God. And God is the one that makes sure his word comes to pass. Amen. So we keep our eyes on him. The next statement says, the Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so he could teach through that teacher. Now, the Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so he could teach through that teacher. Praise God for that. Amen. Next one says, so if I was choosing a church, I'd choose a genuine, fundamental, full gospel Bible church if I was choosing one to put my family in. And just appreciate, you know, our meeting on Friday night. And our brother Troy took that quote and just broke it down for us. You know, genuine, fundamental. Church itself got to be genuine. The people in the church have to be genuine, fundamental, full gospel Bible church, right? If I was choosing one to put my family in. And I just love this quote. I just love it. Full gospel Bible church. And one of the things that I'm happy that we get a chance to do when we're going through the scripture and we're going verse by verse and breaking these things down, we're bringing in what Brother Branham said, but we also try to support what we're saying with scripture, right? So that you understand that Brother Branham just didn't make this up. He got it from the word of God. Right. And it's just reminding us of what the word stated. So it's very important that you be in a church that is a genuine, fundamental, full gospel Bible church. If I was choosing one to put my family in. All right. He says this, the next statement, you can't even come to God without God calling you first. You can't seek God without God seeking you first and calling you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We thank God that he has called us. This next statement says, and every minister in the world that believes in divine healing has just as much right and authority from God to pray for the sick people as any other person in the world. See, and every lay member of the church has the same authority. Amen. Every lay member of the church has the same authority to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Next statement says, and you cannot be a witness of Christ until the Holy Ghost has baptized you. Amen. You can't be a true witness until God has baptized you with his spirit. Very, very important. We never want to lose sight of that. How we need not just a baptism, but we need refillings. Amen. After we get a filling. Amen. We should come to church longing for that, desiring that. This next statement says, Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and abiding place of the Spirit by his word. Amen. That is the focus of us coming and hearing the word of God, that we might become powerhouses and abiding place of the Spirit by the word of God. All right. So let's move on here. I want to move tonight to Ephesians 4 and verse 12. What we want to look at. And I think that is going to be slide 18 is where we're going. And I just want to bring something to your attention here when we get that. It says on this slide, it's used in the scripture, Ephesians 4:12 says, the purpose of God giving apostles, God giving prophets, God giving teachers, evangelists, pastors. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to bring perfection to the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I think that this is very, very important. You know, it's the pastor has a job, the evangelist has a job, the prophet has a job, the teacher has a job. It's to edify the body. You know, it's to bring the saints to perfection, you know, through the word of God, through the word, right? This is what's challenging us spiritually and bringing us to a place that we need to be. Amen. The word is supposed to guide us. Oftentimes you might hear me say certain things a certain way. I'm looking out for your soul, right? I'm saying these things because I'm looking out for your soul. I realize that the enemy is also after your soul. Amen. And I got to say things in order to kind of get your attention and, you know, hey, put God first in this area. Put God first in that area and watch what God does. It's to bring the saints to a place of perfection. That's what the ministry is there to do. I remember, you know, Brother Sean made that statement he preached for us some years ago. And people say, you know, I'm picking on you. No, I'm not picking on you. I'm picking off you. Right. I see the enemy. So I'm trying to get that devil off of you. Amen. Through the word of God. That's my job. But here, you know, I wanted to just kind of just hit next. I wanted y'all to see that in the NIV, the Bible, you know, it's new Bible that people are using. And I mean, even we had this, the new app that we were using, we could not get them to give us the app in KJV. They only want to give us NIV, and I'm like, no, we don't want the app if it's NIV. We'll stay with our old app if you're gonna do that. And they just refused to actually give us KJV. I couldn't believe it, you know. But what I found is that, you know, when I was working for the church, they used to always read the scripture, and I'd sit there attentively trying to hear how they was gonna break down the scripture. And what they break it down and say, rather than perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the church now says it's for the equipping of the saints, the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ. And when they use this work of service, it's all about people being a part of some type of serve team. This is what they call it, a serve team. It's all about being, you know, in volunteering your time and doing something, whether you work in the parking lot, whether you're working at the altar, soon somebody come down, you have to be there to, you know, make sure that you're there to pray with them. Whether it's, you know, teaching some class at night, I mean, you know, no matter what, whatever you can get involved in, it was a major push to put everybody on some type of serve team. And they felt that they were not fulfilling the scripture if they didn't have people serving in the church. Right. And I'm like, that's not what the KJV said. It's not the equipping of the saints and equipping them to be able to serve. Right. Work of service, working, having them work in the church, you know. And I mean, when you think about it, I think it's the Jehovah's Witness that kind of have that same mentality of, you know, trying to work, and if you work hard enough, maybe you can be one of the 144,000, something like that. And it's like, you're not reading your Bible correctly, because 144,000 are really all Israelites. They're Jewish people, right? So no matter how much work you do, you're not going to be a part of the 144,000. You actually had to be born into that, right? So you know, they use this, and you'll find this, that they push people to works. Now, I don't have anything against works. I think that, you know, there are good things. We do the pantry. I think that's a great thing that we do, you know. But I know that that's not what all the church is here for. It's just to get people to go out and do pantry work. That's not it. We're trying to win souls to Christ. Right. That's the ultimate thing. The ministry is here to help bring people to perfection. Let them go deeper in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. But it's, you know, here they use this nowadays. You go to any one of these mega ministries, you'll hear this scripture read with this particular interpretation of the Bible, the NIV. And they said Ephesians 4:12, they take the perfecting of the saints away for the work of the ministry, not work of service, work of the ministry. That's the ministry to Christ. for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ. So just something that you got to be very aware of, be attentive, you know, when you're talking with people and just seeing certain things. That's not what it's about. It's the word of God or the ministry is there to bring us to perfection. Another thing you find out in a lot of these big major churches, they actually do not have any of the other ministries in the fivefold ministry in operation. They don't have apostles. They don't have prophets. They don't really talk about evangelists. What I found, they don't talk about teachers or whatever, but what I found is that everybody is a pastor. If you got a team of people that you are responsible for getting them to the pantry, you become the pastor of the pantry. If you got a team of people responsible for parking cars, you're the pastor of the parking lot. I mean, you name it, whatever ministry they can come up with, you become the pastor. Everybody is, I mean, when they ordain people at that church, they ordain them as pastors. No deacons, no, just everybody's a pastor. And unfortunately, when you do it that way, the word pastor is cheapened. It's cheapened, right? Because, you know, everybody's a pastor. You know, I found that for myself. There's different ones that I've run into and I've talked to, and you know, I pastor a church. Oh, I'm a pastor. Well, what church you pastor? I'm a pastor at my church. Okay, all right. So what do you do? Well, you know, I was just ordained as a pastor. Never preach, never nothing, but just they ordained as pastors because they got people serving in a parking lot. God knows something wrong with the church when we do things like this. God never intended for these gifts to be cheapened like this. But unfortunately, in mega church world, this is exactly what we have going on. God help us. This next statement here on this slide says, now I believe that there's a church coming into that perfection, that ministry of perfection where the offices, where apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists for the perfecting of the church, then pastors and teachers and so forth will be so with the word until the whole thing will work right up to the coming of the Lord. I believe that, and I believe we're nearing that time now. I believe it's so. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let me move over here to some of the quotes that we have on this particular scripture, Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here, out of the message expectations, Brother Branham makes the statement, says, many of them anoint with oil, many of them lay hands on the sick. That's the order that God put all of those things in. The church, after he done all this, and every minister in the world that believes in divine healing has just as much right and authority from God to pray for the sick people as any other person in the world, see? And every lay member of the church has the same authority. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So every person that believes in divine healing has a right to pray for the sick. That's general orders. That's right. I love that. I mean, now that is the saints actually being a part of the work of the ministry, right? Because the scripture said, "For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry." Right. So when we recognize our place, that every believer has the right to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Every believer, right? And and like I was sharing just a few weeks ago, how my wife got called into a situation where somebody said, you know, I need you to do something, not work related. But what you need to say, so and so going through this, and we need prayer right now. And I mean, she couldn't just get on the phone and say, Jack, you know, I somebody out here need prayer. No, they needed her. They watched her life. They knew she was a Christian. Stop what you're doing and pray right now. So, you know, we never know when we're going to be called on. You know, do you realize each one of us, brothers as well as sisters, we are representatives of Christ? Amen. We're, as a Christian, you represent Christ. Amen. And sometimes the only Jesus that people are going to see is the Jesus that's in you. Amen. You are a living epistle read by all men. Right. I mean, it's just think about it. If Jesus Christ himself was here on the scene in whatever situation that you find yourself in, and if, Jesus, we need you involved. Jesus, you know, they know things don't get done. But you know what? People have that type of confidence in you. Amen. They see Christ in you. And this is why they ask you, pray for me. You know, and what we need to learn to do sometime is stop and pray. Okay, hey, I know you said pray for me. You mind if we pray right now? Amen. Not, well, I'm a little embarrassed to pray. No, you're not embarrassed to pray. You can't be embarrassed to pray. Not Christians. You're a Christian. You know how Christians communicate with God? Prayer. You can't be embarrassed to talk to God. No, that is a devil. That's a devil. And we got to get that devil off the people of God. You're living way beneath your privileges. No, you ought to, not, there's a balance here. I know, especially in the Pentecostal ranks, my God, they will go anywhere and do anything, you know. I mean, when it comes to prayer, they disrupt anything. Disrupt it, they don't care. They'll disrupt anything. But there's a balance to all of this. But you got to realize you have a sphere of influence. God has allowed a certain amount of people to be a part of your life. And you have an influence amongst those people. Use it to bring people closer to Christ. Amen. And don't be afraid to pray. Amen. My God, I guarantee what you'll say in your prayer will be a lot more than what they can say. Amen. And sometimes, and we look for the eloquent words and the talk to God like you know him.
Yes.
I mean, just talk to him like you know him. Talk to him like you would talk to me. Just talk to him. Brother Branham said when he was first learning to pray, he didn't even know what to say. So he just wrote a letter. Dear sir, I know you can see me. I can't see you. But just to know that your presence is here, would you just let a wind come by? Next thing, no wind come by. Dear sir, if that was you in the wind, let another wind come by. Another wind come by. He'll answer the simplest prayer.
Yes, he does.
All he needs you to do is just be sincere.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Be sincere. My God. From the youngest to the oldest.
Amen.
Even if Brother Joseph felt led to pray over some situation, just let him pray.
Amen.
God will hear his prayer. If Sister Linda felt to pray in the house, let her pray. Come lay your hands on mama. Lay your hands on daddy. Pray for me. Let them pray. These signs follow them that believe. My God. Amen. Let's use our weapon. Glory, glory. Prayer is our weapon. And I tell you, the devil don't like for us to use it. He want to take that weapon from us and make us feel all kind of ways. No. You got to overcome that. You're a believer. You are a believer. Glory to God. Amen. And don't get so caught up thinking about people, when people hear me, what I'm saying. Who they? who is they? Who? Just because they hear you, what can they do? Really? What? Are they answering the prayer? They ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm not thinking about how you feel about how I'm praying or you. This prayer was to God. This is between me and God. He know what I'm trying to say. And this is another thing. I'm going to just say this while I'm here. I'm trying to teach something else here tonight. But don't be picking at people when they be praying. Don't do that. Find something else to laugh at. But sometimes you actually give a person a complex when you do things like that. Encourage them to talk to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. My God. Amen. You don't know how your prayer just sometimes the right word said at the right time just do so much for a person. It's not how much you say. It's just the sincerity. It's just the sincerity in what you're saying. Amen. Lord have mercy. I can't get out of this. We were there last Wednesday at the hospital with Sister Wason. And, we were sitting down taking care of something, some paperwork and all of that. And a man just kind of walked up out of nowhere. He just talking so loud. And I thought he was drunk. So I'm like, let me just try to get this guy kind of away from us. We need to handle business. And let him just move him over to the side. So he start talking. Next thing you know, he quote me scriptures and all kind of stuff. I'm like, okay. So he said, pray for my brother, that's in the hospital and they won't let me go see him and all that. Just pray for him. And he's saying that police had to come and get me all settled down. I'm worked up. And I could tell he was all worked up. So he said, let's pray. And he got to talking. And I guess he assumed that he was going to be the one praying. But before he could get the word out of his mouth, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I start praying. And, before you know it, at the end of the prayer, we were bumping fists like that, while we was praying. And at the end of the prayer, he said, oh, I felt that. I felt that. I don't say that. He said, you must be evangelist. I said, pastor. He said, oh, I knew it's something. I felt an anointing on you. I felt it. And when I said that, he says, now I feel checked in my spirit to stop acting the way I was acting. There's a higher authority in my presence. He said, you're high authority, and I need to stand down. And say, I appreciate it. Just one prayer changed this man's whole demeanor. And before you know it, he got a call. His brother was being released right after the prayer. Say, Pastor, they releasing my brother. I can't, Pastor, it's a miracle. They releasing my brother. I said, well, he's saying, Pastor, I stood down. I'm so glad that I. Everything changed with one prayer. You can take control over a circumstance with prayer.
Amen.
And you got to realize the authority you coming in.
Amen.
Brother Branham told us that when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's just as if Jesus himself was praying.
Amen.
Don't let the devil take that from you. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. So every person that believes in divine healing has a right to pray for the sick. That's general orders. That's right. Now God has, after all of that, in his word, he has set in the church some apostles, prophets, teachers. Let me also mention this too while we're here. For husbands and wives, it's good to sometime as a husband let your wife pray sometime when y'all privately, at home, something like that. Y'all praying over a need together, let her pray too. Oftentimes, me and my wife will do that. Somebody send a prayer request, I'll pray and she'll pray. We both pray. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I think it's important. And sometimes what you're doing when you do that, you help cultivate the will of prayer in her life.
Amen.
You help cultivate that.
Amen.
Encourage her.
Amen.
Encourage your wife to pray. Dear, I want you to, this is what somebody brought to us. I want you to pray over this.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage her. Now, I see behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, and we one time we was at a picnic, and I seen, this husband, he never prayed. He only let his wife pray. So when they come out in public and it's time to pray over the food, the wife take the husband's hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this food. And God, we ask that you would just let it be nourishing to our bodies as your word is nourishing to our spirits. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, does the husband pray? See, there's a time and place for everything. I think you sitting at the table out in public like that, that man should be praying. He's ahead. He should be praying.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Oh, glory.
Amen.
He's the head. He should be praying.
Amen.
And you know what else? When you go to sit at the restaurant table and they put a chair at the end, mm-hmm. the head should sit there.
That's right.
If your husband the head, put him at the head.
Amen.
Don't put him in the middle. No, I want you to be at the head.
Amen.
I want you to think that. Lord, this is just common, to me it's common sense, but you know, you're the head, sit in the head, take your rightful position.
Amen.
Take your rightful position. And then when it's time to pay, get your wallet out
Amen.
At the head.
Amen.
You're going to sit here in your rightful position, take your wallet out as the head.
Amen.
All right. Y'all ain't gonna let me teach tonight.
Amen.
Oh my. Hallelujah. You know, now it's time to pay it. Dear. No. You're gonna sit here in this seat and you're gonna claim all that authority. You're gonna take care of the rest of it too.
Amen.
All right. Let me keep on reading here. Now God has, after all of that in his word, he has set in the church some apostles, prophets, teachers, gifts of healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all different gifts he set in the church for the edifying of the church, to bring the church together, to make us one. Is that right? That's right. To make us one in him, a brotherhood of one soul, one heart, one body, one spirit. For we're not baptized in two spirits, one spirit, one God, Father of us all, through all, in all, over all. There were these gifts in the church. Some of them can speak with tongues, a gift of speaking with tongues. Another one has a gift of interpretation of tongues. Some are sent to preach. Now, we know that people that don't believe in divine gifts and yet they're preachers, how did they get their inspiration then to preach from? If there's not a gift of preaching, then according to that, every person is a preacher. If it's not a gift of preaching, then according to that, every person is a preacher. But Brother Branham just letting us know that preaching is actually a gift. It's a gift, born with that gift. I mean, I watch different people, you know, they long to be behind the pulpit. And if they can't get behind this sacred desk, they go to social media. And that's their pulpit that they use in order to get to everybody. And then you can watch just kind of how they put everything out there. I'm one that, I don't have a lot of time, so it's very hard for me to read some long posts. My attention span. With about two sentences, three sentences, gone. I'm gone. I just all I do is if you have to press more too many times. If I have to press more too many times, that might not get read. I'm gonna just be honest with you. I might have to go back to it when I really have time. But oftentimes I see people, they would just be posting, I say, and then at the end of all that posting, now you're correcting everything you done said. You're getting the word all confused. That lets you know that that's not your gift. That lets you know, if you can do that on social media, if you can get it confused on social media, what you think you'll do behind the pulpit? And let me tell you something. Let me just be honest with you. It is not fun for a pastor they have to come up behind a preacher and correct everything he said. It ain't fun. No pastor want to have to do that, right? But sometimes you force them to have to do it. So you know, all of it, just let that go. That's not what God called you to. Find something else. Stop trying to force that. Amen. And let me. Everybody get inspiration from reading the Bible. I got sisters in here right now. I mean, they could tell you things that they read today. Lord, how the Lord inspired them in reading it. But does that make them a preacher? No, it's the eternal word of God that should inspire us. Amen. Well, that's how we just fellowship with the Lord. But it don't make us a preacher because we caught one little thing here. All right. Glory to God. Amen. We know that people don't believe in divine gifts and yet they're preachers. How do they get their inspiration then to preach from? If there's not a gift of preaching, then according to that, every person's a preacher. But the Bible said God has set some in the church. Ooh, that's another good one right there. Where does God sit these gifts? Maybe if we go back and read that scripture, maybe God set them on the internet. God set them in social media. You don't even have a church you're going to. You don't even have a pastor, but yet you want to preach to everybody. Or if you call yourself a pastor, no members. No members at all. But yet, you want to preach to everybody. No, God set these gifts in the church. And you know what? When God sits them in the church, people can actually see the gift just kind of developing in a person. They can see it. It ain't just the pastor see that. Other folk can see it. Man, it's something there. Glory to God. All right. God set some in the church. God has apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and so forth, all in the church. God has set them in there, and they're inspired for a certain work. And then some people may possess more than one gift. Oh, Lord, have mercy. My God. When I read that, I said, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Some people may possess more than one gift. I remember, you know, Brother Wesco, he would get called often, you know, to go. People want him to come and minister. And I remember that. And I remember a brother coming to me one time and, he a pastor, he shouldn't go. He a pastor, should stay home. Well, I agree as a pastor, he will stay home, but you know, sometimes when God calls him to go out there like that, you gotta be free to let him go. Because he actually possesses another gift. Sometimes God will give a pastor a sermon that's pastoral. Sometimes he'll give him a sermon that's evangelistic. And sometimes he'll give him a sermon that's prophetic. Right, and God's using them for all of those different ministries. God wants to bless his people. And let me tell you, God's people just don't stop in one church. They're all over the world. They're all over the world. And again, I think there's a balance there. And now I'll tell you the truth. Here in the U.S., we got it made. Like for me, I'm so concerned about when I do go, I'm like, man, I don't really like to miss two Sundays. I don't like to do it. I just can't. It's just something, man. I'm trying to get back home by the next Sunday. That's just me, right? But I've seen some of the pastors from Africa. My, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, they're away from the congregation. And I'm like, how do they do it? Different. It's just a different world. But for me, it's like I like to try to be back by that next week. Plan it where I'm not away. Sometimes it might happen to me, but for the most time, I'm gonna try to be back home within 1 week. I don't wanna miss. That's just me. Right? But I will say this is that you have to understand, and Brother Walker, when he came here years ago, he made a comment that just kind of helped me because I really struggle when it was, you know, when I get an invitation to go and like I really, it's just hard. It's hard. But he says, brother, that God has anointed you and given you multiple gifts. God gave you that. You didn't ask God for it, but he gave it to you. And since he gave it to you, you just got to pray and see how and where he wants you to go with it. But these are gifts that God gave you. You're right, brother. You're right. You know, and God told me a long time ago, when he called David to be king, he did not take his ability to play instruments away. He could still write songs as a king. Amen. So, look at this. They're inspired for a certain work, and then some people may possess more than one gift, but there would at least be one gift or more in a person, and then all these things together, working together for the building up of the body of Christ, getting her ready to go. All of this working together for the building up of the body of Christ, getting her ready to go. Let me go on to this next quote. Now this is, I know I'm going to not be able to do what I want to do at this quote, but I'll at least get it started here out of Perseverance. It says, so the church now, if the headstone come in Luther's time, look what out of the way place it would have been. Look, if it come in Wesley's time, it'll come in its own predestinated time. But the church will be honed in such a condition until the church's ministry will be so close and be just exactly the same kind of ministry that Jesus had to make it all fit together for the rapture. Like the head knows more than the feet, see? The eyes are more used than the feet. The eyes is a prophet of the church. It foresees, see, and all these things come in the head part. Now, I want to ask you a question. Excuse me, brother, and this may be off the beaten path, but if I'm wrong, you forgive me. And your brother's out there. I believe that the church will have to come to that spot for the rapture to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I believe that we're living in that day that when the church will certainly be in a minority, it'll be a small group. You know, when Jesus preached, there wasn't 1% of the 1 millionth of the people on earth ever heard him. Look what hurt John to make preparation, see? It's the elect that hears it. That's all. That's right. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me will come. That's right. Now, I believe that there's a church coming into that perfection, that ministry of perfection, where the offices, where apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists for the perfecting of the church, then pastors and teachers and so forth, will be so with the word until the whole thing will work right up to the coming of the Lord. I believe that, and I believe we're nearing that time now. I believe it's so. And we know that Jesus said and taught us all through the scriptures that the works that he did would be done also. Now, my brethren, I hope that if you disagree with me, it'll be on a friendly basis. Now, I want you to just catch Brother Branham saying he believed that the church has to come into that condition, in that position, before the Lord Jesus come. He believed that we're coming there. And I told you that there is a spirit in the land, the spirit in the land, and that spirit is actually driving people away from the fivefold ministry. And actually, the spirit actually says, if you are a true fivefold minister, what you'll do is just press play on the tape recorder. Now, that ain't why God ordained people to preach the gospel. God never ordained a man just to push play on a tape recorder. Why would God ordain a man for that? And when we think about it, in the days of Paul, they didn't press play. Days of Jesus, they didn't press play. Days of Moses, they didn't press play. The tape recorder just came in this day. So what about the days prior to this? What did the fivefold ministry do in days prior to this? They preached the gospel. And if they preached it then, we ought to still be preaching it right now. Don't let that spirit overtake you. When you hear it, start running from it. I don't care who preaching it. I don't care who's saying what. Actually, I can tell you this much. If you said something different than what Brother Branham already said, I'm not listening. Amen. Because he was the seventh angel to the seventh church age. All right. Glory to God. So he tells us this. Says they will be sold with the word until the whole thing will work right up to the coming of the Lord. I believe that, and I believe we're nearing that time now. I believe it's so. Now, we know that Jesus said and taught us all through the scriptures that the works that he did would be done also. Now, my brethren, I hope if you disagree with me, it'll be on a friendly basis. It says, did you know that the Bible speaks of the appearing of the Lord and also the coming of the Lord? And it's two different words. Search it and find out if that's right. The appearing and the coming is two different things. The appearing of the Lord is now. He's appearing amongst his people. We see him in his same works, the appearing, his Holy Spirit, but his coming will be in the physical being. It'll be to catch the church up. But we see we've been down through the word, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now the church is getting in such a condition, ready, waiting. The offices of the church is coming into its place. The teachers are placing the places. The gifts are manifesting themselves. Oh, there's a lot of impersonations. That's right. We expect that, but there's real too. Amen. And this is the problem that we get our eyes too much on the impersonations, but we're not expecting the real. It says there's real too. Before there can be a bogus dollar, there has to be a real one for it to be made off of it. That's right. We have all those carnal comparisons, but that don't take away from the real. It only makes the real shine out. Now, let me see how far I can go with this. Let me just make a quick. He mentioned a statement about the appearing and the coming being two different things. And let me just maybe just give you a few scriptures here on the appearing, you know, of the Lord, the appearing of the Lord. Let's first go to 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 1 and 2. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. We'll find some scriptures here related to the appearing of the Lord. He says he's appearing right now in our midst, doing the very same works that he did when he was here on earth. That's how we know he's here. Amen. Verse 1 in 1 John 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I just love that. I went to the Greek lexicon on that word where it says, when he shall appear, when he shall appear. Greek lexicon on the word appear in that particular context, it says the word is phaneru. Phaneru is the word, and it means to make manifest, to show, to manifestly declare, to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown, to manifest whether by words or deeds or in any other way. So when something is made manifest, he's appearing. He's appearing, right? And one of the revelations that we need to be made manifest to all of us is that right now we are the sons of God. We're not waiting to be. We are right now. You're a son and a daughter of God. Amen. That is the highest title that you could have on this earth. Amen. It's greater than being a president's son or a movie star, whatever, you know, celebrity. It's greater than being one of their children. We are children of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now we need to know that right now we're his children. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, when he starts making himself manifest, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Another scripture about this appearing is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. Glory. Amen. It says this, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest." How's it made manifest? "By the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Amen. When I looked at that word, the appearing in there in the Greek lexicon, it has a word that they use, epiphania. Epiphania in the Greek lexicon, and that means appearing or brightness. Epiphania. I thought that was really, really special, because epiphania would connect with epiphany. And epiphany means a moment of sudden revelation or insight. So what happens when you have an epiphany? Brightness comes in. Oh my, and that's the appearing of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. His appearance is sometimes through a revelation that is brought to you. He appears. All right. Another word for this epiphany, another scripture that kind of goes along with it, is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Amen. I love this. Verse 6 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And again, that appearing is a brightness. Those that love, amen, to get revelation. Those that love for God to reveal himself to them. Those that love that. Amen. Glory to God. There's a crown of righteousness that's waiting for you. Here when we talk about his coming, we'll give you a couple scriptures on this coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. His appearing and his coming. Amen. Appearing is what he's doing right now. When he's manifesting himself through the revelation of his word, performing the same signs and wonders that he did when he was, you know, on the earth, that is his appearing. But his coming is when he comes in a physical body. Here, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Again, verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." And as I thought about that, I thought about how Brother Branham went to the other side and he was asking, "Can I see Jesus?" Like, "No, he'll come to you." And says, and looked at all these people, say, all these Branhams, say, "No, they're not Branhams, but they're your converts." It says, one day he can come to you and you're going to present these converts to the Lord Jesus. And it says, well, is Paul here? It's like, yeah, will Paul have to present his converts to the Lord Jesus? Say, yeah, he says, well, I preach the same thing Paul preached. And it says millions screamed out. We're resting on that. We're resting on that. We're going to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. "For ye are our glory and joy." 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 through 18. Amen. It says this, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Praise God. Amen. We know that he is coming to take us away. There'll be a shout, a voice of trump. And Brother Branham already told us that shout is the message going forth. That voice is the same voice that called Lazarus out of the grave. It called us out of the grave of denomination. Amen. The graves of the world, it called us out of that. And that trump is the same trump calling Israel back to the feast of the trumpet, but it's calling us, amen, to a marriage supper of the Lamb. We're looking forward to that. This last verse that I want to give you about his coming is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll stop here tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Glory to God. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, glory, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah, amen.
His appearing and his coming. His appearing is happening right now. It's getting us ready for his coming. Amen. It's getting us ready for his coming. I can't wait. One of these days, gravity won't be able to hold us down. We will rise. Amen. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We look forward to that. Let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for just the things that your prophet shares regarding the scriptures that we look at. It helps us stay balanced. It helps us stay focused, Lord, and we just appreciate it. I pray, oh God, that you would just continue, Jesus, to help us, Lord, to humble and submit ourselves to what the word is telling us. Always keep this word in sight. When the children of Israel were going into the promised land, you told them, don't get in front of the word and don't get too far behind it, but keep the word in sight. Keep it in sight, Lord. We just trust, Father, that that what has been shared, Lord, is something that would continue to draw our hearts closer to you. That's what this is all about. You give this fivefold ministry, Lord, to perfect the saints. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edification of the body of Christ. Thank you for edifying us. And Lord, just giving us what we need in order to do the work that you've called us to do. We are your hands. We are your feet. And we must get the job done. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Few announcements that we have here. Don't forget, Sunday morning we'll have our regular time of prayer from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then our service will be at 10:30 a.m. We'll continue to stream through our Facebook, SAT Tabernacle, also Twitter, it's at Spirit and Truth T, and also on our church website. We have to add to that particular slide there. I think where it's working at is on john423.org. We got a major change going on at spiritandtruthtabernacle.org. So Just go to john423.org for our streaming right now. Also, we don't forget the time to reconnect at the event that Brother Stacy Goodbread is hosting. We have the little things to, what do you call them? QR codes. And this is for married, widowers, divorced, or separated, or engaged couples. So anyone that's kind of been married or you know, or married currently, or even you know, engaged to be married. So that's who it's for. And we ask that you please register. And I mean, Brother Stacy did send me a little reminder. It's like, Brother Jack, don't forget. So I told him, Brother, I registered, and I've been announcing it every week. You know, so so if you haven't registered yet, please do so right away so you can get in. They'll be a part of that. Don't forget for Sister Wason, we will be having her homegoing service this week. This weekend, it'll be Saturday, February 12th, and it'll be held at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle there. We thank God for Brother Wesco just opening the church for us to be able to come. And I did want to mention, they did ask that if everybody would wear their mask while they're at the service. We want to honor that. They just asked that, it told us the church is open, but we would like to require and request that everybody wear their mask there at the church. So let's do that, amen, as we honor them in that. And there will be a viewing of Sister Wason. Sister Wason was a sister that just didn't really like a lot of pictures. She didn't like to take pictures or anything like that. And we're going to honor her. We're not going to have a open casket, you know, service. It's going to be closed casket. So if you desire to just view her, you know, one last time, please get there by 12 o'clock, because by 12:30 we will have the casket closed. The service will start at 1 p.m. on the dot. So please remember that. The repast will be at DeGeorge Boys and Girls Club, and that's 4105 Pinewood Avenue. It's really right around the corner from Brother Wesco's church, probably with about two or three blocks. You just go out on the street and make a left, but it's right in the same area. We tried to make it where it was very easy for the saints to get there and get to the funeral. I'm in the homegoing service at the same time. So keep that in mind, and just ask that, just pray for the service. Brother Smiley is actually going to be doing the eulogy, amen. So just pray that God would just use him in a very special way there on Saturday. So ask that you do that. And our giving is multiple ways. Those that are inside the sanctuary, we have a box here that you can put your offering, tithing in. Those that are online, you have Cash App or PayPal that you can use. If you use PayPal, just choose the option of give to a friend, a family member, and use the email address of giving at john423.org. If you use Cash App, $SpiritandTruthT is our handle. And if you want to mail your offering in, the address is there at the bottom of the screen. And we want to say thank you so much for your giving. As we went through the just the financial report on last week, everyone has contributed well, you know, to the church, and we just appreciate, whether it's through Cash App, whether it's through PayPal, whether it's through, you know, putting it in the box, or whether it's mailing in. It has made a difference in our financials, and it has placed us in position where we can really, really, really expect God to open a door for us to buy a church sometime soon. So, you know, somebody was looking at one of the videos, and they saw us in here, and they're like, did y'all get y'all new church yet? Well, a lot of people are expecting that. So not yet, but we are on our way, and there will be a day that I will come and announce it, you know, welcome to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm under expectation. It's through the giving that the Lord has blessed us to be able to be in position to purchase, and we're just waiting, just patiently waiting for God to open the door. Amen. All right. Before we would have a word of prayer, did anyone have anything, a testimony or a prayer request that they wanted to share tonight that we could just remember? Anybody? Yes, sir. Sure.
Mm-hmm. God bless you. So I'm going to read 1 John verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him."
Amen.
So it's very small, but it means so much to me, because we get to a place where we can just have this confidence in God.
Amen.
That it's not that we are, like, I don't believe that it's something that we have, that we're so big or anything. It's just so simple as believing something. Mm-hmm. And it actually, it just amazes me every single time that God does that. And I believe that many will experience that. The other day we were going by this, the kids were with me, and we go by this really fancy bar. And one of the kids said, "Man, that's a fancy bar, Bob. Are you sure what's there?" I said, "No. But you know what? Let's ask God to give me some horses in there." And Abby said, "Well," I was like, "Well, let's just pray right now." And Abby pulled out the scripture at Matthew 18:19 or 19:18. Said, "Let's touch and agree on it."
18:18.
We're driving and we prayed. "Hey, Lord, Poppy wants to shoe in there. Let's get some horses in there." Well, nothing happens. 1 week went by, a week and a half. Yesterday I got a call. Some lady's like, "Hey, we have some horses from California. We're looking for somebody that can this in our program." So I called her today. "Yeah, I'm on my way over there." "Where is she at?" She says, "Poinciana." I was like, "Brilliant." "1 week and a half." Just like that. We prayed, we believed it, and God did it.
Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh my. So now I see why y'all was doing all that talking about, you know, why I was saying you got to pray and don't be afraid to pray. And they prayed and God answered just like that. So, amen. That's wonderful. Anybody else testimony? Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. We'll remember the family in prayer. All right. Okay. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are again grateful that we can come to you. Thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight in fellowship around the Word of God. And Lord, this wonderful testimony that we just heard of how you answered prayer, have a confidence in you that, God, that when we pray, you will respond. Lord, you just showed us that tonight. So whatever it is that the saints are in prayer about, God, may they leave here encouraged and strengthened, knowing that you will respond to whatever it is. You have no respect of persons. So, God, you'll do it. Lord, as Brother Smiley and his family prepares for this service on Friday in the loss of, Lord, a cousin who lost her husband, God, we ask for comfort. We ask for strength. We ask, Lord, that you would just use the minister that would speak the word and help them to bring something that has challenged the people to think about where they are. And God, to know that it might be the cousin's husband this time, but next time it could be somebody else. So, Lord, we want to be ready that when our appointment is called, that we're ready to meet you. And as we also prepare, Lord, for the homegoing service for our precious sister Wason, God, we ask that you would go before and that you would bless all that is done. We thank you for Brother Wesco and the church opening up their doors to be able to allow us to come in and have the service there. Pray your blessings upon them. Sister Candace, Lord, who worked to make sure that we had a place for the repast, we ask your blessings upon her. God, as Brother Smiley prepares to bring a word, God, use them in a very special way. Give him peace in his mind and his spirit, Lord, exactly what you want him to say. And Lord, let it just come forth and with such an anointing, God, that the people will know that they've heard from God. And Father, we just pray that you look upon us as we leave this place, but not your presence. May we go, God, with our hearts lifted up and encouraged and strengthened because we've heard the word. And God, may we go victorious, amen, in our lives as we continue to press through whatever it is that we're facing, knowing that you will give us the victory. We pray that you would keep us until we're able to come back together again here on Sunday. God, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. Want to say God bless you to those that joined us online as well. We will see you on Sunday, amen, for our service, and those that will be able to make the home-going service will see you on Saturday, amen, there for our precious Sister Wason. Amen. God bless you. Our brothers will come at this time to dismiss you.